Thank you, Jesus, for your many blessings and for opening our hearts and minds to you. Spirit, come and have your way with us. We ask in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.
Please be seated. Before I get into the sermon, I want to say just a thing or two about intercessory prayer. As you heard, Father was talking about maybe trying to be a little more free in our prayers of the people. I certainly believe that intercessory prayer is a charismatic thing and a charismatic gift. And so when we do prayers of the people, we have a form, and then there's time afterwards. And we often come with, you know, specific cares and concerns that we have, and those are important and very good. But the Spirit, if you're open and listening during that time, could lead you to something else that needs to be lifted up in prayer. Now, and I've not done this before in my life. Well, maybe I have, but I certainly heard of other people, you know, powerful and strong in intercessory prayer who can say, okay, Lord, what do you want me to pray for? And they're carried away. I remember one story particularly that I heard of, somebody just carried away in the Spirit to the streets of Calcutta for some poor, you know, just a miserable person laying on the street there. And that they were able to pray for that specific person. And so I do believe that the Spirit can lead us to those things. It may be big things like praying for somebody in the government, or it may be something that, you know, you and your natural self would not have any clue about otherwise. And so I would just invite you during prayers of the people to be open to that as well. And I think that that's the hard part of coming up to the microphone, is that that kind of thing is pretty spontaneous. And certainly in that moment, if you have something where you're sitting, please feel free to lift it up so that others can share in that thing that God brought to you. And so there's my little thought about intercessory prayer. We are powerful intercessors here in this church. And I think that this is just one more way of expressing that. So there you go. And this message was brought to you by the Rector's Council, Church of the Resurrection. What I really want to talk to you about today is identity. Identity. You know, what is your identity? You know, oftentimes in social circles or a lot of times in work circles, you're introduced by what you do. So, you know, you can say, well, Jack is our music minister. We can say, Sally is a missionary from Guatemala. That's what I heard a couple times today. Hi, Sally. Welcome. And it gives us some information about Sally, doesn't it? Certainly tells us some things about her. We can say Julie is an artist. Susan's a teacher. And like I said, we get lots of information about them just from hearing about that. You know, we spend millions of dollars on identity every year. Now, maybe you individually don't, but you do spend money on your identity. You have a social security number. You have a driver's license you had to pay for. You have a birth certificate, which you might have to find someday when you need it. And the courthouse burned down or something like that. You know, you might have a work ID that you have to show to get in the building. Or, you know, maybe you have a certificate for the type of work that you do, a teaching certificate, a commercial driver's license, something like that. You know, the list goes on and on and on. You see what I mean about identity? Pretty important in our society. And then we spend millions protecting our identities as well, too, don't we? You know, we got to keep people from stealing our identity so they can get our money or put debt on us or something like that. So it's a big deal and it's pretty complex. Okay. So being introduced, say, as Jack, our music minister, I'm going to pick on you, Jack. I hope you don't mind, but you know what? It's okay. But, you know, and it shows us something about who Jack is or what he is, right? And we do learn something about him, about rudimentary understanding just from hearing that word, music minister. We can say that, well, Jack is a musician, probably. And he's an accomplished musician and a talented musician as well. He's faithful. We can guess that because he's a minister and he was commissioned by the bishop as a music minister in the CEC. That he writes faith-filled songs, and that they show spiritual insight as well, too. So we can learn some things from that, you see. But this only answers what Jack does. we still are limited in our understanding of Jack. See, identity is complex. It's much more than what we do. We are more than what we do. Now, of course, in the world, a lot of people tend to make their identity what they do. You know, and so, well, if I don't have that job, I am nothing. And that's not a good place to be in. But we want to learn more about people because we are more than what we do. And if we want to, we can kind of break it down. And one way to do this is you can answer three questions about somebody. What are you? What do you do? And who are you? Now, at your first thought, those may seem kind of redundant in a way, redundant questions, but they really aren't. They're very different. And of course, you know I'm going to tell you why. Well, what are you? Well, let's ask that of Jack. What are you, Jack? That's okay. You don't have to answer. I will. And nobody else, okay? Well, Jack is a creature, first of all. He's a human being. He's a member of the species Homo sapiens. That's what Jack is. He really is, you know? He's a male of the species designated by his X and Y chromosomes. He's a great, 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 great grandson. He's a, you know, I won't go, keep going on, but he's a grandson. He's a son. He's a father. He's a husband. Married to Janine. Introduced.
You didn't know her already.
He's a native of Pennsylvania. You could call him a Pennsylvanian, right? He's a resident of North Carolina. You could call him a Tar Heel. He's a citizen of the United States. So those are kind of things of what Jack is. What Jack is, you see? But then if we kind of move on to the next thing and we say, well, what do you do? Okay, well, what does Jack do? Well, we already mentioned that. You know, he's a commissioned music minister. He's a musician. He's a drummer. He's a singer. He's a songwriter. He's a band leader. And that just starts it because he's also a senior endoscopy tech in a hospital. He's a member of the CEC, like I already said. He's a member of the Rector's Council, and that's why I get to pick on him. He's a Christian and he practices his faith. He receives communion. He worships God. These are things that Jack does. Not all the things that Jack does. But you see the difference of what I'm talking about. We say that he is a musician, but that is just what Jack does. What he is a human being. So you see, now we know a little more about Jack, okay? We know that he's not an aardvark or something like that. He's a musician. Just popped into my head there. Okay. Now, let's ask another question. Who are you? So who is Jack? Kind of gone through the first parts, right? Well, you might say Jack is a musician. But you know what? There are lots of musicians. And that's not who Jack is. What Jack is and who Jack is a very personal and specific thing. It's what makes Jack individual and unique among all human beings. There is no one else in the world like Jack. Jacob says, thank God. No. Who Jack is all of those things we mentioned in the first two questions above all rolled into one, what he is and what he does. But it goes much further beyond that, you see. Because Jack is a human, because he is a faithful Christian who's accepted Jesus as his Lord and Savior, because he's baptized in the name of the Trinity, he is a child of God. Now we're starting to get somewhere. A unique and specific carrier of the Holy Spirit. This is his essence. This is the essential Jack we're getting to. This is a part of God's plan for salvation. He is. He thinks and he feels and he makes decisions that only Jack can make based on all of those things that we've described about it. So we start to see a little more about who Jack is. Okay? Who he is. You see, there's a lot to this identity stuff, isn't there? I mean, to fully identify someone, you got to go way beyond what your title is. Musician, writer, dancer, driver, engineer, priest. You're not just the number on your driver's license. You're not just your social security number. And the same thing applies to God. If we want to know better who God is, we have to go beyond that simple definition. Oh, well, what is that simple definition? You know, it's not easy. And though we can still, in this case, ask our three questions. We can say, what are you? We can say, what do you do? We can say, who are you? Well, okay. So what is God? What does God do? Who is God? First of all, what is God? Well, first and foremost, I'd have to say God is. I know. But he is. He is the center of all things. He is the center of existence. Therefore, he must just be. This is why he told Moses, I am Yahweh. I am, I am. You tell them that I am. Because it is his definition. Because it says it all. God is. He is a being. He is a spirit. He is matter. He is human. He is all in all. We know that he is wise and he is good. He is faithful and merciful and gracious. And he is holy. He is almighty and all powerful, all seeing and all present. He is the beginning and the end. So what God is, even though it's a difficult question to answer, gives us a little bit more and it goes a little bit beyond. But really what God is goes beyond us. We can't, we in our understanding cannot go that far. We can't understand him that fully. So we better ask some more questions. Okay, so what does God do? What does God do? Well, he rules. He rules and he reigns, doesn't he? He exists in his glory. He never changes. He is self-sufficient. He needs nothing. God thunders, as the psalm said today. He creates. He created heaven, the universes of the universes. He created angels and all the hosts of heaven, didn't he? He created the sun and stars and earth. He laid the foundations of the earth, as he told Job. He created life and he created us. He created choice, free will, right? And therefore, God saves. He is our champion. He speaks to his people. He reveals himself. He calls and directs us. He authored the Bible. God hears our prayers, our petitions, and our needs, doesn't he? He answers them as well. He heals. He performs miracles. He dwells. He provides. He challenges. He teaches. He comforts and he convicts. And God loves. Oh, yes, God loves. Years ago, I went to some kind of a conference, you know, it was at Belmont University over in Nashville, and it was a faith conference thing, and so up on this huge screen, you know, they had this thing that came up, and it, you know, gave you the names of God, and it's kind of pretty kind of thing that just kind of went on and on, you know, God is this, and God, you know, and it just went on and on and on and on, and it just probably went on for 10 minutes, because all of those you can say are about God. You can say so much about what God does. I can't do it as well as that. But we can continue on and we can ask our final question. Who are you? Who is God? Well, he's a totally unique and singular being like Jack is. He's all the things that we have mentioned above there, all rolled into one. Plus, God is love. First and foremost, God is love. He does love, but he is love. He's a person. He's three persons. He's Yahweh. He's the Word. He's the Comforter. He is the Father. From his throne, he looks down on us, his children, in love. He provides for us and leads us. He is Jesus. He is the Word of God. The King of Kings, Lord of Lords, he is the Lamb of God. He is one of us. He shares our joys and sorrows, our struggles and our triumphs, doesn't he? He is the victor overcoming death and hell. He is merciful and forgiving, sensitive and understanding, generous and extravagant, the bright and morning star. He is not afraid. He is the Holy Spirit, comforts, counsels, convicts, champion of truth. He gives gifts and he empowers us. He lives in us and he speaks through us. We could go on and on and on and on, like I said. We don't have all day. Because you could. See, as I started doing this, you know, things just kept coming and coming and coming and coming. And I had to just stop. So you see, when we ask these questions, we have some better understanding of who God is. Even though he is infinite and we will not fully understand him, we do have an identity for him now. He is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And he reveals more and more of himself to those who care to seek him. Just got to put a little time in there. You know, much of the world, you know, this is what I do, walks around and wonders if there is a God. Or if they have some idea, that, oh, I'm sure there's God out there. They make up some kind of unknowing spirit or a higher power, some nebulous thing that can't be understood. Well, you know, in their imaginations, they think that he has the world on autopilot or something, or, you know, that he waits to stomp on us like a bug. But we, because of the Bible, the history of God's work with man, and especially because he became a man, we know so much more about God and who is God than the unbelieving world ever could, unless they become one of us. There are no guesses or legends or fantasies or fictional stories. God has an identity. We know a lot about him. Instead of just, oh, he's out there and I don't know if he hears me. He's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So as you expected, my next question is, what about you? Well, you're a human. Anybody not a human, raise your hand. Oh, right. You are flesh and blood, but you are a spirit too. You're a creation of God. I called him a creature. I'll call you a creation. You're an heir. You're included. You're loved. You're a saint. And you are his possession. You do things. You sin. You repent. You seek. You pray. You listen. You obey. You reign with Christ. You're disciples and you learn. Part of God's plan for salvation. Goes on and on. Because you are the salt of the earth. You are the meek. You are the merciful. You are the peacemakers. You're messengers. You're healers. You're prophets. You're a person of unclean lips. It's been touched by a firebrand from the altar. You're encouragers. You're miracle workers. You are warriors. You are his hands and feet. You are champions of righteousness. I'm not talking about the person next to you. I'm talking about you. You know about God and you know God. You are a unique and individual child of God. There is no one else like you in all the world. As our bishop tells us, you are his favorite. You are all the things that we talk about that make you, plus all the things that he is rolled into one. All those attributes of what you are, what you do, and who you are, plus what God is, what God does, and who he is, make you the child of God, the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. See, identity is a difficult thing. It's a complex thing. Theologians write books and books and books on this. I didn't read any of them. Identity is a complex thing. But this is your true identity, what I just mentioned up there. It's all your characteristics rolled into one, plus God, because you're hidden in Christ with God, right? And so you see, in life, you're still going to be introduced probably by what you do. Give somebody some kind of thing to hang on to. But you know your real identity. Your brothers and sisters here know your true identity as well, too. And your job is to reveal your true identity to the world. It's not like a superhero that keeps it hidden. You're supposed to reveal it. You don't have to wear a mask. But you can if you want. Kind of cool. People, you'll stick out if you do. So remember, your messengers, your healers, your prophets, your encouragers, miracle workers, talking about you now, your warriors, you're his hands and feet, your champions of righteousness. In your essence, you're a child of God. Amen.
And to look at your freedom, we are powerful.